Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Rye thought that 5,000 people were going to buy the record. He thought it was going to peak at 179, his usual spot.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to say welcome in to the tail end of the Rye Cooter experience. Last week was five episodes, starting out from Rye's early days, taking him all the way through some incredible things he did in the 80s and 90s. And after all that time, after more than 30 years in the music business, he has still yet to achieve his greatest commercial album, and you're going to hear about that today. It was not planned to come out the way it did. It was planned to be something completely different, and you're going to hear all about that record and hear some music from it today. So if you missed last week, or if you want to learn about one of the most important musicians in American history and you don't know anything about Rye Cooter, I strongly suggest you go back and listen to those five episodes. It's well worth it. If you get a long drive coming up, it's a perfect companion for that. All right, we have the two big reels of TDK threaded up. We're almost to the end of the tapes, but we want to get into this story right now. You're going to hear Kurt Gallagher once again. Thanks to Kurt Gallagher very, very much. Why don't we hit play and get started?
And then that brings us to another huge highlight that funded the rest of his career and led to a lot of really cool stuff in this century. But just one of the biggest things of the 90s. It was even in the bracket. It was in the Bracket Madness.
I was about to say, that's how important this album is, people. It made the Rock in the Suburbs 90s countdown. That's how
I think
it is.
Rye's dreams finally came true.
Yes. Oh, Rye.
So we're talking about Buena Vista Social Club. There's a producer called Nick Gold who produced the Timbuktu Talking Timbuktu album. He had a a record company called World Circuit Records. And he came up with this idea to go to Cuba and make a record. But I don't know if everyone knows about this, but the original plan got scrapped. This was a salvage. The Buena Vista Social Club is a salvage from the original plan.
Yep.
Two musicians from Mali that were friends of Ali Farquhar Torre were going to go to Cuba, and they were going to do an album based on African-Cuban connections through music. And that was the project they went down to do. But the two guys from Mali got stuck. There was a problem with their passports, and they got stuck, and they had visa problems and could not make it to Cuba. It was hard enough for Rye and his people to get down to Cuba, but they had to scrap the original plan for the Buena Vista Social Club. But in 1976, 20 years before this, Rye went on a cultural exchange to Cuba with Dizzy Gillespie and Stan Getz and Earl Hines and other people, and Rye's wife and their baby at the time, Joaquin. And he said he came back with crates. No, not crates. What do you travel with? Trunks. He came back with trunks filled with records from Cuba.
Wow.
And he said he came back and he thought about Cuban music for 20 years.
Wow. After this trip. That's amazing.
And it was exactly 20 years later when they went down to Cuba to do this album that was supposed to be, you know, a marriage between Malayan music and Cuban music. My puppy is whining here for some reason. Come on, buddy.
Okay.
Relax.
Buster.
So Nick Gold and Rye looked at each other, and there were a couple Cuban musicians, you know, there, and they were like, what are we going to do now? You know, are we going to scrap everything? And they basically said, no, let's see who we can get together and let's just play and see what happens.
Amazing.
And Rye remembered he had all these names from these albums that he took home in 1976. So he had a list of names, and they had to go look for these people. Because
I would imagine, yeah.
A lot of their music careers were destroyed by the revolution, so they weren't musicians anymore. They were farmers, and they were living in faraway towns. Not Havana, you know, far away from Havana. Yeah. So people had to go out and look for these people. And they found a lot of people on Rye's list. And I'm sure Nick Gold knew a lot about it, too, because he's in the world music world. So they just got a group of people together. They had to work on the studio for 3 days because a lot of the equipment was so run down and broken. And they found a big room on the second floor, and they took all the mics up there. And Rye just went up to the ceiling and put a couple mics on the ceiling. And they just sat there and played. They didn't use any reverb at all, like digital reverb or any other kind of reverb. It was just because they were in a big room, and they just used the room sound for reverb, and they just sat there and played.
Dos gardenias para ti, con ella quiero decir. Te quiero, te adoro, mi vida. Ponle toda tu atención, que serán tu corazón y el mío. Dos gardenias para ti, que tendrán todo el calor de un beso. De esos besos que te di y que jamás te encontrarán en el calor de otro querer. A tu lado vivirán y se hablarán como cuando estás conmigo. Y hasta creerán que se dirán te quiero. Pero si un atardecer las gardenias de mi amor se mueren, es porque han adivinado que tu amor me ha traicionado, porque existe otro querer. Thank you.
Rye said they talked a lot too. These old Cuban guys got together and they were talking about the 50s and the 60s and all the old times. And he said, yeah, you know, you guys like to talk, but let's play some music. And they just started, they came up with a list of songs and they just started playing, and the mics were on and they recorded it, and it became the Buena Vista Social Club.
Amazing. Amazing. And I'm so glad you gave that backstory, Kurt, because it's not like Rye went down there and walked into the Buena Vista Social Club where these guys were sitting around playing and just turned the tape recorder on. There was a lot more to it than that. And it's a fascinating story in the way they put the record together and how amazing the music came out. But it's almost as fascinating as it became this cultural phenomenon and just started selling. I don't think anybody expected that to happen. And it just became this sleeper left field hit that just kept growing and growing until eventually, you know, they're on the Grammy Awards and all this stuff. It was just amazing. I mean, it really
They didn't
was.
Think at all. Rye thought that 5,000 people were going to buy the record. He thought it was going to peak at 179, his usual spot. And this Nick Gold, he's a really smart guy, and he's just took it around to different people and different radio stations and just sold it to people and got them to listen to it, and people loved it. And pretty soon, you know, he started hearing it in like coffee shops or in London and wherever he was going.
Wow.
And it just started catching on slowly, and then it just kept going, and everybody, it was everywhere. I don't think I ever had the CD, but you didn't need it. You just heard it. Like I said, in coffee shops and at parties and stuff. I heard it all the time. I don't know where I heard it, but I heard it all the time. And it made a lot of money. And Nick Gold gave Rye a percentage. He's a very generous guy. He gave Rye Rye a percentage. And then he went back to Cuba to find all these people. And he gave them their share too. He didn't have to.
That's amazing.
He didn't have to do that.
No.
He went out of his way to make everything good. And I think they made a lot of other albums with these guys after that. You know.
Yeah.
His company and Rye as producer, they did do a bunch of follow up albums, but that was definitely a highlight and a really big part of Rye's career.
It's an amazing chapter in his career, and I don't know if this is true or if you know this, but one thing I read was that Rye at one point had to pay $25,000 because he had violated the Cuban Embargo Act, because America had an embargo on Cuba, and that's incredible, you know, that he had to do that.
Yeah, there were all kinds of fines. I think the fines went up to like 100,000 all told.
Yeah.
Because they made a live recording at, I think, Carnegie Hall with Wim Wenders filming it. Mm-hmm. So there was also another really popular video that people were buying. But there was all kinds of fines with that. They had to get all these guys from Cuba up to New York City to record this live concert in Carnegie Hall. And because they made another movie based on one of the singers from Buena Vista Social Club recording his album, and it was topped off with this concert at Carnegie Hall. So they did it, but yeah, there was also a lot of fines involved.
And I'm so glad you mentioned the musicians who participated in this and what it did for their careers. There's two that I was actually able to see, which was an incredible highlight for me. At the time, I was doing some freelance work for a couple of different places in Washington, and this guitar player named Compe Segundo, who plays a lot of guitar and sings on many tracks on the original Buena Vista Social Club, played a concert at the Smithsonian Institution, and I was able to go down there and watch him play the show. It was really amazing. It was in like one of their little theaters that they have. It holds about 300, 400 people, which was amazing. And then I got to see the piano player Ruben Gonzalez. And right, not long after Buena Vista, there was a Ruben Gonzalez album that came out called Introducing Ruben Gonzalez. It was recorded maybe with some of the, you know, the same guys. I think Nick Gold produced the record. And it's a wonderful Cuban piano record. I mean, if you like the sound of Buena Vista and that relaxed sort of stride Cuban vibe, I mean, this album is just butter. It's so, so good. And it was released on World Circuit Records, so it should be available. Yeah, really, really good. And such an incredible highlight. You know, and as you mentioned, the Wim Wenders filming the documentary and all that too, which is great. I think there was even a musical production, wasn't there, that they did? I don't know if it was on Broadway or where it was or if it toured, but I seem to remember that.
Also. I think that's recently. That's in the past three or four years, I think, that it was on Broadway. It might still be on Broadway. We'd have to look that up, everybody. But yeah, there was definitely a Broadway show based on this whole story.
Yeah.
I don't know if they talked about Rye going climbing up to the ceiling to put microphones. But yeah, I think it tells the story of the whole thing.
And amazing.
I read one interview where he said they never did find the actual Buena Vista Social Club. They had these clubs in the 50s. They were like based on your interests and your work. And those were a lot of those were closed down during the revolution. But the Buena Vista Social Club was a social club for musicians. I mean, there were social clubs for football and for, you know, mechanics and whatever.
Yeah.
But this was a club for, and they all said, oh, yeah, I know where it is. And they tried to go find it. They couldn't find it.
It used to be right here.
They all swore they knew where it was, but no one could actually find the place. But, yeah, it's so nice that Nick Gold is a generous guy and he let those guys, you know, share in the wealth and continue on with their careers and add so much more beautiful music to the world.
Thank you.
right. The song we heard right there was Pueblo Nuevo, led by the pianist Ruben Gonzalez, of whom I mentioned. And there was an array of incredibly talented musicians on this record. And Ry Cooder right there in the middle of it, playing everything from the guitar to the oud to anything he could get his hands on. So an incredible achievement. And as mentioned, this really became a left field, kind of a sleeper hit, and just continued to grow and grow and grow. And right now I want to read a list of a few of the countries where it reached platinum status, just to show what a reach it had. Reached platinum in Argentina, Australia, Austria, double platinum, Belgium, triple platinum, platinum in Canada, 3 times platinum in Denmark, 2 times platinum in the Netherlands, Switzerland, 3 times platinum, United Kingdom, 3 times platinum, United States, platinum, more than 2 million copies sold, and a host of another worldwide for another 8 million copies. So it was just a massive hit, a massive, massive hit, and enjoyed some really steady placings in the charts. I think in the America of the USA, it was number 80 on the charts, which is one of Rye's higher placings. It also was number 1 in Germany, number 2 in Finland, and number 7 in Switzerland. It just had an incredible impact all across the world. So just an amazing, amazing moment in musical history. And the music just is timeless and as rich as ever when you put it on today. And all that, of course, dwarfed by the fact that Buena Vista Social Club appeared in the Rock in the Suburbs 90s Bracket Madness Tournament. What could be more of an honor than that? All right, folks, we've got one more episode of Ry Cooder left, and we are going to tee that up for you tomorrow. So I hope you have been enjoying it. If you have any questions, any thoughts, any insights about Ry Cooder, or about any of this kind of stuff that we've covered over the last 6 to 7 days, please get in touch. You can email us at rock@suburbspod.com, and you can find us all over the social medias at suburbspod. We're going to go out now with a song called Viente Enos from the Buena Vista Social Club. It's a bolero, track number 7, and it features Omara Portuando, who is prominent because she was one of the only women to participate in the Buena Vista Social Club, and it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. So we're going to hear that as we go out, and we will wrap up the Ry Cooder experience for you guys tomorrow.
Que te ame si tú no me quieres ya. El amor que ya ha pasado no se ve recordar. Fui la ilusión de tu vida, un día lejano ya. Hoy represento el pasado, no me puedo conformar. Hoy represento el pasado, no me puedo conformar. Si las cosas que uno quiere se pudieran alcanzar, tú me quisieras lo mismo que 20 años atrás. Con qué tristeza miras un amor que se nos va. Es un pedazo del alma que se arranca sin piedad. Es un pedazo del alma que se arranca sin piedad.
I heard it all the time. I don't know where I heard it, but I heard it all the time.